Ladies and gentlemen, are babies born in sin, totally depraved of a total sinful nature? Does the Bible teach the doctrine of hereditary total depravity? These are questions that we are considering in this lesson. The doctrine of hereditary total depravity declares that man is totally passive in regeneration. One author declared, "The depraved sinner cannot act except by enabling grace of God through the Spirit." Another writer says, "The necessity of repentance and faith after regeneration is very obvious." The theory of inherent total depravity makes man totally under the power of the devil, with no choice nor ability to reject Satan or obey God. The sinner is so depraved that he cannot act except by the enabling grace of God through the Spirit, we are told. The theory, then, of necessity leads to the false conclusion that man is incapable of repentance and faith until after he has been born again, after regeneration. If this religious theory were true, then the Bible is false when declaring, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation," as we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. The Lord was in error when he commanded, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13 and 5. If this theory of total inherited depravity were true, and repentance and faith are after regeneration, then the Holy Spirit misguided the Apostle Peter when he commanded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If a man were already regenerated, why should he be told to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, or to be regenerated? How could a person possibly be regenerated without first believing in the Lord? The Bible declares that faith is essential to salvation, and without faith man cannot please God, as we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Therefore, if faith follows regeneration, as affirmed by the advocates of the hereditary total depravity theory, then man is regenerated without pleasing God. Furthermore, if this theory were true, then man is regenerated, born again, saved from his sins, without ever having repented of his sins, for the false theory claims that repentance and faith are of necessity after regeneration. Quotation. What a conflict with the command of our Lord when he declared, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The doctrine of hereditary total depravity asserts that all children are born in sin. According to this theory, sweet, innocent babies are supposed to be born of the devil, totally depraved. But, my friends, this is a mistake. Let us briefly consider the matter of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, Paul the Apostle, who had been committed the word of reconciliation, exhorted, "Be ye reconciled unto God." The word reconcile implies a separation and a reunion. The word means to bring back to harmony. The prefix re means back, or back to an original or former state or position, Webster's Dictionary. For example, a husband and wife may become separated, and afterwards they may become reconciled, that is, to be restored to their former relationship. They go back to their state or relationship that existed before the separation. Now, see this. Suppose an infant is born in sin, born of the devil. If he ever departs from that state, being a child of the devil, which way could he go? The obvious answer is toward God. To depart from the devil is to go to God. To depart from God is to go to the devil. Now, what happens when reconciliation occurs? Paul the Apostle declared that God had given unto him the ministry of reconciliation. That means that one is to be reconciled unto God through the Word of God. The truth of the matter is, every soul, every infant born into this world, is born without sin, free from sin. innocent of any guilt or sin, and is in complete and perfect fellowship with God, when by reason of accountability and his own choice, he sins, he becomes separated from God. Man's own sin separates him from God, as we read in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. Man becomes a sinner by reason of transgression, thus becomes separated from God. When the gospel of Christ, the word of reconciliation, is taught the sinner responds by faith and obedience to the Lord. He becomes reconciled unto God. He is restored to that unity and fellowship with God which existed when he was born into this world. Yes, my friends, reconciliation is by the power of God through the Word of God. It is false to conclude that infants inherit the sins from their parents, therefore, and are born into the world totally depraved. Of Jacob and Esau it was said, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil." Romans chapter 9 and verse 11. From this statement it is evident that they were not sinners before they were born. They became sinners after they were born, when they began to do evil. Their sins were not inherited, ladies and gentlemen. But let us suppose an infant born into this world is a child of the devil, as affirmed by some religious creeds. When he departs from his original state or relationship, the only opposite direction to go is to God. Now, if he does receive the word of reconciliation, to whom is he reconciled? There is but one answer. If he is restored to his former relationship, return to the former or original union, he is brought back to the devil. To preach the word of reconciliation, to restore one to his original state, therefore, would be to make him twice a child of the devil rather than a child of God. This would be the inevitable conclusion if the doctrine of hereditary total depravity were true. This is a false conclusion. Every man is born a free moral agent. He may choose his own destiny. Salvation and reconciliation are in Christ, the Son of God. Are little children lost who die in infancy? If all infants born into the world are totally sinful, having inherited their sins from their parents, if one infant dies in infancy, will that child go to heaven or go to hell? If an infant is totally depraved and dies in infancy, his defilement must cause him to be lost in torment or go to heaven with his defilement and sinful nature. But the advocates of the theory of hereditary total depravity seek to theoretically avoid this dilemma by asserting, and I quote, "All infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved by Christ through the Spirit who worketh with and where and how it pleaseth." My friends, the fallacy of such unscriptural reasoning is easily ascertained. First, what happens to the non-elect infant who dies? Or, do only the elect infants die? One of two conclusions is inevitable. The only infants who die are the elect infants, or the non-elect infants who die must spend eternity in hell. Can one truly believe that a sweet, innocent baby must spend eternity in torment? It should furthermore be observed that this theory of the direct operation of the Spirit upon the depraved infant who dies, in order to save the infant from hell, leaves the infant who does not die totally a depraved creature. Is it not strange that this theory claims that Christ, by the Spirit, removes the degraded, sinful nature of the dying infant, but allows the living infants to remain totally depraved? Could one possibly conclude that Christ considered little children to be sinful, even totally depraved, when he publicly blessed them? We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 15 and 16, where it is said, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. My friends, hear me. Are you listening? If the doctrine of hereditary total sin were true, then Jesus should have said, forbid them not, for these little children have corrupt, totally depraved souls, and we must prevail upon the Spirit to burn out that sinful Adamic nature before they die. If all these things were true, then Jesus was saying that His kingdom was composed of subjects holy and completely defiled, body and soul, totally depraved in sin, because of children, He said, of such is the kingdom of God. One writer, defending the doctrine of hereditary total depravity, declares, I shall now proceed to show that, in the case of dying infants and idiots, regeneration takes place by the agency of the Spirit without the Word. The Bible teaches that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says nothing about Christ sending the Holy Spirit directly to an infant or to anyone else to save him from sin. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God to save the believer. Question: could an infant possibly be a believer? The answer is obvious. Could an infant be taught the gospel? No infant is capable of being taught the gospel or believing the gospel. Yet the Bible plainly teaches that these are essential conditions of salvation. To the Romans, Paul wrote, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The apostle furthermore wrote to the Corinthians that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. Ladies and gentlemen, I say, are you listening? If every person born into this world were totally depraved, and that by an unchangeable decree, he is foreordained and predestined to be born totally depraved in sin, why should the gospel be preached to him? And how could the gospel be the power of God unto salvation? This theory is false, ladies and gentlemen. Man is a creature of volition, with a heart to believe or disbelieve the gospel of Christ. To the man who does choose to believe and obey the gospel, he shall be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Otherwise, the person who chooses to disbelieve and disobey the gospel shall be lost. Mark 16:15-16, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The theory of hereditary total depravity denies that the gospel of Christ purifies one soul through his obedience to the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God to save. And the Bible says that the Apostle Peter addressed fellow Christians as men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, beareth them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Acts 15, verses 7 through 9. The same apostle also declared, seeing you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth. The inspired apostle declared that those who have obeyed the gospel and have obtained forgiveness of sins are they who have had their souls purified. The theory of hereditary total depravity contends that, and I quote, this corruption of nature during this life doth remain in those who are regenerated. What a contrast! My friends, if the theory of inheritance of nature were true, what about the matter of an infant inheriting a purified heart from his Christian parents, whose hearts had been purified? If one could inherit a corrupt nature from the wicked, Why could not one inherit a purified, clean heart from a regenerated soul? But this is false reasoning. Neither a state of sinfulness or righteousness is inherited. No man has any sins except his own. In New Testament times, Peter commanded, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Acts 3, verse 19. It was their sins which were to be blotted out, and not the sins of Adam, nor the sins of their parents. In the day of the judgment, every individual person will be judged according to his works, not the deeds of Adam, nor the deeds of his own parents. The Apostle Paul speaks most conclusively about this matter when he wrote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Surely the statement cannot be misunderstood by one who desires the truth. In the day of judgment, every person will be judged according to the deeds, the Bible says, done in his body, according to the things he hath done, whether it be good or bad, the Bible declares. Every individual person, therefore, is responsible for his own destiny, and he must choose his own destiny. In the long ago, Joshua declared, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24 and verse 15. The question, ladies and gentlemen, is simply this: where do you choose to spend eternity?